Okay, there we are. Good, this is working. Thank you all for coming. So my name is Dan, and last year in May, that is not working. Yes, it is. So I went on a trip to America with my brother and two of his friends from uni, and the three of them do this trip every year, and they go to chase storms, and they love watching a good tornado. Luckily, they are meteorologists, and so they know what they're doing. They will wake up in the morning and they'll look at the weather models to work out where they're going to go next. They will record weather observations, and they at least understand what these diagrams mean. They constantly check the radar to make sure that we stay out of trouble as well, which is, I'm very grateful for that. Now, I am not a meteorologist. I also can't spell meteorologist, and my expertise lies more in shoddily written Python scripts and the history of robot wars on BBC. And my aim for the trip was to just take some nice photos, and I wanted to take some photos, particularly interested in lightning. So in 2022, the three of them, because they do this trip every year, they took this photo. This is one that my brother got by taking a video of the storm on his phone, and then lightning happened to be there. And in order to get that image there, he just took a screenshot of the video from his phone, which is, you know, if it's not that bad. But the problem with that is that it's not really the best quality image. Obviously, if you zoom in, the shape of the lightning bolt isn't particularly well-defined. Can you see that particularly well? Yeah, good. The shape isn't particularly well-defined. The resolution isn't great. There are video encoding artifacts on there, and there are some other defects that are caused by the rolling shutter effect on the phone. And I thought if I brought my SLR camera, that I'd be able to capture something a bit better, maybe. So lightning triggers already exist out there. You can buy them, you just plug them into your camera, and they supposedly just work. And so I thought originally I would just buy one of those because I don't have that much time. This one here from Amazon looked pretty good, but it had sold out. The Pluto trigger also looked really nice. It had its own website and everything, had also sold out. And then there was this other website, the Lightning Trigger Store, and what did they have? It looked like this website hadn't been updated since like 2002, and I'm also sorry, but at $389, there was no way that I was going to pay for that. So I thought I'd rather try and make my own. So I had this SLR camera, a microcontroller, an electronic starter kit, and so a little bit of spare time. And I thought, like, if we go on this trip and the clouds are over there and I am a safe distance away with my camera, if lightning happens over there, I want the camera to take the photo before the lightning fades away. And if all that works, I will be a very happy boy. The camera that I've got is a Canon DSLR. I bought it over 10 years ago. Bits of it are falling off. There's gunk in the lens, and it doesn't have Wi-Fi like your modern cameras do. But if you look at the side of it, there are a couple of jack ports in there. The top one is a 2.5mm port, which allows you to plug in, you know, any of those triggers. I didn't know how they worked, so I thought, I'm just going to stick a wire into it and see what happens. And conveniently, I bought a set of headphones that had a 2.5 to 3.5 mil cable. And I thought, well, I'm just going to plug it in. Nothing happened. And then I put a wire from the tip of the 3.5 mil cable into the sleeve, and that created a connection and triggered the camera. So that was pretty cool. You can think of this a little bit like an electronic circuit. Kind of just, yeah, do some hand waving here as well. On the right-hand side of this circuit is, you've got a battery there, the little X, that could be the camera, maybe. And then on the left-hand side is this, it's like a, you can think of it like an open switch. And then when you connect the tip to the sleeve with a wire, that switch closes and it completes the circuit, allows current to flow, the camera triggers. And so what I needed was a way to operate this switch programmatically. And it, it turns out there is a thing called a transistor that will really help you with this. And it is a small little black thing with three wires poking out of it. There are different types of transistor, and if you came here to know the difference between an NPN or a PNP transistor, I'm afraid you've come to the wrong talk. It looks a bit like, well, it looks like this on a circuit diagram, and you can see the three pins, top, bottom, and off to the side. I prefer to think of it like that with a little switch on the inside of it. And the idea is if you were to apply a small current to that middle pin, it effectively closes the switch and allows current to flow between the top and bottom pins. So, in our previous circuit design, you can replace that switch with the transistor. The idea is there's also, like, you need to complete the circuit and all of that, but I'm skipping over that. We can move on to the next slide. This is a light-dependent resistor. It's got a really good name because its resistance changes when light hits it, or with the amount of light hitting on it. We can see that in action here because I've connected up a multimeter and it's measuring the resistance. So under my desk lamp, it's reading at just over 2 kilo-ohms, but when it's put in shadow, the resistance will increase to 8 kilo-ohms. I wasn't sure if lightning flashes would be too fast to register a change in the resistance, but there's one way to find out, and that was to experiment. But this here is also a Raspberry Pi Pico microcontroller. You can get one for about £5. You can program it in C or in MicroPython, and that is really convenient because I already know Python. You can program it to send current down any of the GPIO pins on the side, which is really convenient if you want to operate a transistor. And also some of those pins on the side can be used for analog input. So you can read changes in resistance, for example, if you've got a light sensor and you want to read something from there. So putting it all together, it looks like this, which is really messy, and I couldn't really test it at home before the trip because the weather was too nice. So I didn't know whether it was going to work properly, but what I did know is that before I took it to America, that I wanted to neaten it up and I wanted to start soldering some things together. And I planned it out like this. I had to buy a few extra things for it, so the thing with all the holes in is a prototyping board. I also got a jumper wire set where you've got all the wires which are cut to the right length. And in order to make a decent connection between the camera and the Raspberry Pi, you can buy these 3.5 mil breakout adapters. And so there's three of them there. If I wanted to mount the light sensor on top of the camera, I also needed another 3.5 mil cable, and that's on there. So when I started soldering it, I realized quite quickly just how useful blue tack was. So you can hold it all in place, put the iron in the solder, and attach the components from when it's upside down. And the end result looked like this, which I'm sure you can agree is a lot neater than that original prototype. The code is really bad, so that's why it's so small. Hopefully you can't read that. But all it needs to do is when the microcontroller starts up, you want it to just collect like some background readings of light. And in a loop, we want to just take another light reading, check, is it significantly brighter than what we've seen before? And if so, we trigger the camera. And We add the new light reading to this to this list of previous light readings, and remove the oldest. So we're always looking at the last couple of seconds of light readings, so that if you know brightness changes gradually, it's not going to affect things. So this is me testing this out with my phone's torch, and the numbers are just what come out of the Raspberry Pi. Can you see where the lightning is? I hope you can. It's just there on the right-hand side, and that's what I mean by significant. There's just like a little bump up, and if I can write some code to spot that, which I did, then that will trigger the camera. So the final setup looked like this. You can see how I've mounted the light sensor on the top of the camera with some more blue tack. And I've also put it inside the tip of a ballpoint pen to sort of like focus the light. If you're looking this way, I don't want to capture a lightning bolt from all that way because the camera's pointing over there. That was the thought anyway. The Raspberry Pi is powered by a USB power bank. And the only way that I could test this was to shine my phone torch, and it looked like it was reacting all right. But what I wanted to do was to measure the reaction time of the system. And how do I do that? I do that with another Raspberry Pi and some blinking lights. There you go. So that is a particular pattern. And if we slow that down, and what I did was I took a long exposure photo while panning across. And we can see that pattern in action. And what's going on is that very top LED is just on constantly, and then everything underneath is counting up to 256 in binary, and that's the number of milliseconds since that top one turned on. So the idea is, if I mount the light sensor on top of that constant LED, plug it all into my camera, and see and set the shutter speed really fast, we can see that it takes that photo, and we've got 10111101, which is 189 milliseconds, and which is quite a long time. That's not very lightning fast, is it? I mean, I don't know how fast lightning is at this point. But what I wanted to do was to speed up the reaction time a bit. Long story short, there is, if you turn off the video preview, that speeds things up quite a lot. But then there's also this thing called mirror lockup, which is a thing that keeps the mirror of the SLR up, or you push the trigger, that it goes up, and then when you push the trigger the second time, that's when you get the fastest reaction times. And so I was pretty happy with that. The board itself reacts much quicker, and so it just meant that most of that lag time, well, what was it? It was 83 milliseconds on average. Most of that lag time was within the camera, not within the board that I'd soldered together. So, I don't have time to explain how I measured that. I then took it to America to test it in production, if you will. Luckily, it survived the journey. And so here we are. We are on the road. This is the first day. And we were chasing a storm. We saw some lightning in the sky. I was sat in the back seat, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to plug it all in, just point it out there, just handheld. I'm not expecting anything decent, but we'll see if it works. But it's about time for some lightning facts. So lightning occurs when the base of the cloud becomes negatively charged due to lots of ice particles rubbing together. When the potential difference gets to 100 million volts-ish, we get some these stepped leaders and streamers, and bits of lightning. You might see it if you see like slow motion videos of lightning. You can see them coming down from the top, and they're branching out, and they're trying to find a path down to the ground. Also, at the same time, you'll see these streamers coming up from the ground. And when they make a connection, bam, That's when you get that really bright flash of light. So the streamers take about 50 milliseconds to do their thing, and then that bright bolt will take about 1 millisecond, or no, less than a millisecond, so it's really, really fast. It's also at 30,000 amps, 30,000 degrees C as well, which is really hot. I wouldn't recommend getting struck by lightning. But we don't care about that. this is, back to the story. So I was pointing the camera out the window when it took this photo. I mean, I can't even see it on there, but what I can see is to lower the brightness a little bit, and you can definitely see there is some lightning there, so we can see it works. Then we found a good place to stop, set up the tripod, held the Pi in one hand, and captured this video.
That works.
Exactly where we are right now.
It works. So that thing that I soldered together, reacting to lightning and capturing this pretty amazing photo. I was really pleased with myself. And you can even see with this one, you've also got like the leaders coming out as well, which I wasn't expecting to capture at all. So what actually happened there? If we do this in slow motion, there were actually three different bolts there. So that first one, at time zero, comes and goes. Camera hasn't reacted. Camera reacts at 100 milliseconds when you see the screen is off. But that third bolt that happens is the one that the camera actually took. I was really pleased with that because I managed to get this picture out of it. And if we zoom in, the image is still a little bit grainy, but I really like how the lightning is quite even. It was a nice surprise that it caught all of the leaders as well. I think the photo could have been a bit better if I used the optical zoom a little bit more, but I was really happy with this result. Now, obviously, I've got more, quite a few more. So this one here was, I had quite a few of this type where you couldn't see any of the leaders. I then had this one where there was going right across the sky. You can just about see there. This one was really cool because I had the rest of the group in it and they just happened to be pointing. And I really like this one where you've got a really bright flash coming down to the ground and then there's also stuff going across the sky. But it wasn't perfect shots every time. These are a whole bunch of the failures. They were often triggered by lightning, which had happened, and obviously the camera reaction time isn't quite as good as it maybe should have been. We get some bolts that come out of shot. We've got a car brake light in the top right, which triggered it. It didn't really work particularly well at night. Probably something to do with my maths or something. And I really enjoyed this one of a car driving past, and it captured that. So some photography tips. If you are foolish enough to do this yourself, what you want to do is set your focus and exposure and just keep it on manual. I found that a longer exposure tended to work better because then you're more likely to get more lightning. Turned off image stabilization. If you're on a tripod, you cannot get it more stable, so there's no point. Zoom in, maybe. Be lucky, that's important. You need to be pointing it in the right direction. How do you know that it's the right direction? You don't. And also, don't get struck by lightning. Stay a safe distance away, and maybe travel with meteorologists as well. Oh, and we also saw some tornadoes. That's all of the photos that my brother took. So, that's the end of the talk. The lightning detector, there's a workshop. So Derek, is Derek Woodruff here? Yes, hi. On Sunday morning, there will be a build a lightning detector workshop. That does not use a light sensor. That's detecting radio waves instead. And I'm really looking forward to going to that, building another lightning detector and trying to hack that to trigger my camera as well. So there we go. Thank you very much for watching.